if you've spent any amount of time in any church, and it really doesn't matter, you know, what denomination or background, it doesn't take too long before you become accustomed to hearing messages about this incredible life that God has for you. I mean, it doesn't matter the background, it doesn't matter what church it is. You can sit there, really just even a short amount of time, and you start hearing that God has this incredible, amazing life for you, that God wants to, you know, provide joy. God wants to provide a life that isn't controlled by fear. God wants you to be an overcomer. God wants you to have this surety of your eternity. God wants to give you a life where you are able to make a difference in the world around you, that God wants you to have an incredibly blessed marriage, that God wants you to have an incredibly blessed home, that God wants you to have, you know, finances that are blessed and that you're able to make it, that God wants to have all of these incredible things for you. And we hear sermon after sermon, message after message on all of these incredible things that God has, that He wants you to, where He wants you to be. A lot of sermons about destination, a lot of sermons about where God wants you, this life that God has for you. And we hear them, and maybe we agree with them. It's like, yeah, you know, man, I want that. I don't want to be, you know, controlled by fear. Yeah, I want God to show up in my finances. Yeah, I want God to show up in my home. Yeah, I want to make sure that, you know, I'm secure in my eternity. Man, I want that. But here's the question. Have you ever left church thinking this? That sounds great, but how do I get there? I mean, that sounds like just an incredible life, but how do I get there? I mean, we talk all about the destination. We talk about all these things that God has for us. But honestly, where's the directions? How do we get there? And so what we're going to do over the next couple of weeks, we're going to start this series that the focus and the title is exactly the same. It's just this: how to get there. How to get there. All of this stuff that God has for us, we leave wondering, how do I get there? And so for the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about how to get there. How to get to the life that God has for you. Turn to somebody and tell them, well, it's about time, right? It's about time. Oh, yeah. This is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. Now, the first thing we're going to talk about today, the first topic that we're going to start with today, is going to seem so obvious that you're going to go, I could have stayed home, slept in. I mean, I knew that already. It is so, so obvious. But there's more to what it is than maybe your first thoughts of it. Because this first step that we're going to talk about today on how to get there is something that where most of us actually stop. And it's right at the beginning. It's where we begin to lose track in actually getting to where God wants us to be. And let me just ask some questions here. Maybe you can relate with some of these, because this shows that we're missing this first point. If you've ever felt that God shortchanged you, that you're looking at your life and you're saying, hey, you promised all these things, and wait a second, God, I feel like I'm on the short end of the stick here. If you've ever felt that God was not keeping up His end of the bargain, if you've ever given up on a promise of God, thinking that, you know what, maybe it's just not for me. You know, I know God says that, you know, He provides peace or provides joy. And I know God says that, you know, He provides direction and wisdom. But you know what? Maybe I'm the exception. If you've ever felt that, if you've ever battled with that, I'm so glad that you're here, because this is the hurdle that I want to help you get over today. And it's simple, it's obvious, but yet we stumble with it so, so much. And here's the scenario. See if you've ever felt like this, that you're sitting in life, and we are in the place where we're at, and we see something that we need from God. There is a promise. We say, God, I need wisdom. God, I need direction. God, I need You to show up in my finances. I need You to show up in my home. I need You to show up in my marriage. God, I need peace. I need salvation. God, whatever it is that we see from God, and we ask God, And we call this prayer. We ask God, we say, God, I need your help. God, I need your direction. God, I need your wisdom. God, I need your blessing. God, I need you to do what you promised you would do. And we ask God and we wait on God. And then we ask God again, oh God, oh, remember me, I'm asking again. I need direction, I need peace. I'm overcome with fear, I'm overcome, and I'm wrestling with this addiction. God, marriage still is still, you know, World War III, home still looks like a disaster zone. Lord, I need, I'm asking. And we wait for God, we wait for God. And we go through this process of asking and waiting on God, and asking and waiting on God, and asking and waiting on God, and asking and waiting on God. And over time, a couple of things start to happen. One, we start wondering, is God even around? Because I'm asking, and he promised, and I'm waiting here, and I'm not seeing him. I'm waiting here, and the mess is still here. I'm waiting here, and the fear is still here. I'm waiting here, and the problem is still here. And it's not for me not asking. Oh, boy, I've been asking and asking and asking and asking and asking and praying, and I got other people asking with me. And we start to wonder, is God there? Or we start to beat up on ourselves. We say, well, maybe I'm just not good enough. Maybe I'm not worthy enough. Maybe I'm not perfect, so therefore God isn't wanting to answer and keep his promises to me, because you know what, I know all kinds of things that nobody else knows about me, and maybe I'm not able to receive from God. Maybe I'm the exception. And so we go through life, we're asking and we're waiting and asking and waiting. I don't know, maybe you've ever heard somebody, or maybe you've said it yourself, where somebody says, I'm just waiting here for my miracle. I'm just waiting here for my miracle. I'm just waiting here for God to move. I'm asking and asking and asking and asking. And I'm sitting here and I'm waiting here. And I'm sitting here and I'm waiting here. And I'm sitting here and I'm waiting here. I don't know, maybe you can relate with this. But we're going to talk about this today, because here is one of the obvious points going to help us. Ready? Here it is. You can't stay here. If you want to get there, you can't stay here. Now, isn't that one of those like duh kind of moments, right? If you want to get there, you can't stay here. And here's what we're going to discover is this, that every time God gives a promise, he provides a path to get there. Every time God says, hey, this is what I'm going to do, he provides a path for us to get there. We see this again and again and again through Scripture. It is just amazing how this plays out. We see at the beginning at Noah, where God makes this promise to Noah, and he says, Noah, I'm going to save you. I'm going to save your family. I'm going to destroy the whole earth, but you are going to get by. You have found favor in my sight. My promise to you is you are going to survive. And Noah says, woohoo, that sounds good to me. But look at what happens. Look at this. Look at what God says. So make yourself an ark. Wait a second, God. You promised that I was going to survive. You said that you were going to take care of me. I'm going to wait here and wait for you to save me. And if Noah would have done that, he would have drowned. In the middle of God's promise. Because God says, look, here's my promise and here's the path. He says, I want you to make yourself an ark of cypress wood, and make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out, and that this is how you are to build it. And he goes on and gives them all the directions. Promise, path. You can't stay where you're at. Promise, path. To get there, you've got to move from where you're at. Abraham. God says, I'm going to make you an incredible nation. I'm going to make you like your kids and family's going to be like the stars in the heaven. There's going to be everywhere, like the sands of the sea. You're just going to have so many generations. So many of your family's going to be so big. And Abraham goes, woohoo, that sounds awesome. I'm all for that. And then God says, I want you to pack up everything and move. Well, wait a second. If I'm going to have a big family, wouldn't it be wise to stay close to the babysitters? I mean, my family is all here, God. I mean, if you're talking like stars in the sky and say, man, we're going to need some help. I mean, come on, God. That's not a wise move. God says, hey, you can't stay here. That if you want my promise, there is a path. And what Abraham could have done, he could have said, you know what? I love the promise, and I'm going to keep asking for it, but I'm going to wait here. Go do it, God. Go do it. Go do it. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm asking. I'm asking. I'm waiting. And missed it. Because every time that God gives a promise, he provides a path to get there. In the New Testament, Jesus is speaking. The last words that he gives to the church, he says, look, I'm going to pour out my spirit. You're going to launch this church. It's going to be incredible. You're going to change the world. And here's what I want you to do. Go back to Jerusalem. Now, that doesn't sound like a big deal, but Jesus was just crucified in Jerusalem. That was not a safe place. That was a hostile place. He says, look, if you want my promise, you got to do what I'm telling you to do. You can't just stay here. There's a promise and there's a path. And they could have said, nah, we really like it here, this comfortable Mount of Olives. It has great seating and a great view, and there aren't people around us trying to kill us. We'll stay here. And missed it. See, every time that God makes a promise, he provides a path for us to go. Because our tendency is to want to sit and wait for God to do the work. Our tendency in our natural self, we want to say, God, I need you to keep your promise, and I'm going to wait here until it happens. That I need you to move, and so I'm going to wait here until it happens. God, do the work. God, make the change. God, do what only you can do. Come on, God, change it, fix it, make it. And what God does is something totally different. He says, look, a promise is there, but there's a path for you to follow to get there. You can't stay here. You can't stay here. God wants to include you. There's a passage in Exodus. I love this passage because it nails it. Here it is. Moses is talking to the people, and they are right at the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are coming up behind them. And God makes this promise. He says, I'm going to take you out of Egypt. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to get you through this. Great promise. And the people of Israel go, woohoo, we are all for that, okay? Oh, yeah, you take care of them, God. And Moses stands up, and he says this verse that we quote, and we love this verse. The problem is we get it wrong. That's why you should just read the whole book and not just, you know, bits and pieces here. He stands up to the people. Moses says to the people, do not be afraid. Oh, those are good words, all right, okay? Don't be afraid. What's the next two words? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. This is an awesome verse. Some of you have this crocheted in your kitchen. Some of you, this is a memory verse that you remember as kids. You have maybe quoted this to people. This is your life verse. Stand still and let God do what he needs to do. You just sit down and get out of the way and allow God to move in your life. God promised it. He's going to do it. He'll call us when it's done. Yeah. Because that's our nature. We love this kind of life. You go do it, God. We believe. Just give me a call when you're done. Fix it. Heal them. Kick them out. We'll wait. We'll keep asking. Did you do it yet? Did you do it yet? We need it. We're sitting here. Moses is saying, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more. Awesome words. Go ahead, this next verse goes on. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Just hold right there, girl. Moses is saying, stand still. Just ask God to fight your battles. Stand still. Just keep asking. Stand still. Just keep asking God to fight. Trust Him. Trust Him. Stand still. Hold your peace. Great words. Problem is, Moses is wrong because God shows up, and look at what God says in the next verse. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, to get up, and to move. They're sitting down. I need them walking." Moses is saying, "Sit back, stand still." God is saying, your victory is on the other side, and you can't stay here. Get up, get moving in the way that I told you to move. It's not about you sitting and waiting. It's not about you just asking and asking and asking. It's for you to follow God's plan. He says, walk through, get up, get moving. Now, I have never seen this verse crocheted in anyone's house before. When actually, this is the message of that entire scenario, where God is saying, hey, get up, get moving. If you want the promise, you've got to follow my path. Turn to somebody and say, if you want the promise, you've got to follow the path. Okay? Here's the problem. Here's the problem. This is how we view our relationship with God. This is how we view our promises from God. This is the place that we envision that we are, that this represents what it means to ask God to do what He promised. The problem is, this is the wrong object. You know what it's more like? This. That God says, look, there's this promise that I have for you, but it's not about you just sitting and waiting on me. It's about you going and doing what I've asked you to do. That there's a part for you to play, that I have a path for you to follow. Don't sit still. Don't just keep asking. Go do what I've asked you to do. You can't stay here. Now, here is why this works, right? And I'm going to try to take a very complicated theological idea and concept and make it really simple, all right? God's number one desire is for you, is not for you to have everything that you want. God is not the heavenly Santa Claus. God is not the genie in the bottle where we say, oh, I got a prayer. I need a fix. I need you to do this. This is not God's wish for you. God is not trying to take care of everything and just make your life just this marshmallow life where there is no trials, no struggles, no nothing. That's not God's wish. I mean, we look at the very beginning. He put Adam and Eve in the garden and then gave them a job. Take care of the garden. Grab your shovel. I mean, that's the nature of God. I mean, could God have made grass that cuts itself? I surely wish He would have, but it doesn't work that way. Hey, he says, look, I've put together all of the things. My goal isn't for you just to have every little need provided. My desire is to have a relationship with you. God's number one desire is for you to have a relationship with Him and Him to have a relationship with you, not as equals, and this is so key. But He wants you to have a relationship with Him as He is your God. And you are His child, His creation. That He is God and you are His. That's God's desire. I want a relationship with you. I want you to know me as your God, as your Savior, as your provider. I want you to be in relationship with me. That I'm God and that you're mine. Okay. Now God uses His promises to build our relationship with Him. Not to just fill our need bucket. Because that's not what God's trying to accomplish. He wants to build the relationship. And He says, I'm using my promises to build the relationship. Because here's the key. God's path always requires trust. God's path always requires us to look at God as God. Look at the examples here that we talked about. I love this verse in Hebrews where it just sums up what Noah did. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. Okay? That he believed God, he followed God's path. But look at this, look at the second part of the verse. He obeyed God who warned him about things that had never happened before. Now, the only equivalent that I can imagine this is imagine that you go home and tonight God shows up in a way that there is no doubt in your mind. It's not just you had some bad pizza before you went to bed. I mean, it is evident. And God says, look, I want you to build a rocket ship. And I want you to build this rocket ship, and here's the plans, because here's the thing. I'm going to destroy the earth, and you are going to rocket off the planet. Can you imagine having that conversation with your spouse or your coworkers the next day? Hey, you're not going to believe what happened. God told me that I'm going to build the space shuttle in my backyard. Crazy. Crazy. Now, can you imagine Noah? You're going to build what? You're going to build a giant hotel for animals that is going to float? Why? Because God told me. And we harken back to the old Bill Cosby, you know, themes like Noah, you know, what? You know, what's going on here? Here's the thing, that every time God asks us to do something, there is an element of faith. Imagine what Noah had to go through. Abraham, I want you to leave everything that you've known. Okay. Disciples, I want you to go back to a very dangerous place. Why? Because I want you to trust me. Because when you trust me, you view me as God. When you trust me, you have to view me as God. When you say, okay, God, here's the way that your path is leading me, and it's out of my comfort zone. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I trust you. My relationship with you and my perspective of you is changing, that you are my God. And when we have that and take those steps, God shows up as God. He says, you trusted me as God. I'm there for you. You did what I told you to do. I'm there for you. You are moving towards me in the relationship that God wants more than anything. And that is what faith is all about. It's when we begin to put our actions in light of God's promises. You see, one of the best things that you can do is you begin to obey God's principles in your life, is that you tie them to the reason behind it. You say, okay, God, I'm doing this. And you know what? You know why I'm doing this? Because you promised this. God, you know this, I'm doing my marriage this way because you promised that you would show up in that. God, I'm doing my finances that way, this way because you said you would show up. God, I'm doing my prayer life this way. I'm doing my life this way because you promised that you would show up. I am tying my actions to what you promised. I can't stay here. I can't stay here. And so as you look at where God wants to take you, as you look at those things in your life that you want from God, you've got to realize that every promise that God gives, he says, there's a path to go along with it. There's a path to go along with it. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to discover what the path is and how to discover the path. We're going to talk about that in a very practical way. But the real question is this: am I willing to leave? See, that's step one. And that's where we fail so often. That we're good at asking. We're really good at asking. And we'll ask and ask and ask and ask. But are we willing to leave and follow what God is telling us to do? Am I willing to leave? I want God's promise. I want to get there. But am I willing to leave here? Because from this side, here, pretty comfortable. Here is where I feel most at home. Here, I can put all the blame and responsibility on God for answering, and I don't need to take on any of the accountability or any of the obedience that God says will get me there. And so often, we find ourselves saying, I'll stay here. And then we wonder why God doesn't answer. We wonder why we never get there. We wonder why we never experience what God has for us. Because we're not willing to leave here. And God says, hey, I got a path for you. You know what? You got to get up. Here you go. I want to give you direction. I'll give you step by step. But I want you to get involved. I want you to learn to trust me, because that is what it's all about. That as we follow God and as we want what God has for us, we've got to be so focused, not just on the destination, but saying, God, what would you have for me? We pray differently around here. And when we take prayer requests, I say this a lot, that when we ask God for things, we just don't go through and say, okay, God, here's my list. I want this fixed. I want this promotion. I want this healed. I want this resolved. The Bible says that God already knows what we want and what we need before we even ask it. I mean, he knows ahead of time, right? So we recognize that God is the provider. It's like, okay, God, here's what I need. God says, okay, I know it, but go ahead and ask me. But here's the way that we pray, and here's the important thing. God, here's what I need, and this is where it gets different, but show me what I need to do about it. God, this is where I need a miracle, but show me what I need to do. God, you sow this situation here, and God, you need to change your heart, but God, let me know what I need to say. God, you know this issue over here with our family, or issue with work, or whatever. God, you see it, and we need you to work. We need you to fulfill your promise, but God, show me what I've got to do. See, here's the problem. We think prayer is all about changing God's mind. Prayer is all about changing mine. It's not about trying to convince God to keep his promise. It's about convincing me to follow his path. So when we pray, God, fulfill your promise, but God, change my heart, change my way to follow the path to get there. Okay, God, I'm willing to leave here. I'm willing to take the step. I'm willing to do what's needed. Show me what I need to do. And every other reason, every other hindrance, we pray, God, help me to keep focused on you. Help me to get there. God, don't let those things pull me away. Allow me to experience that incredible life. Oh, God, in so many different ways. But let me first realize I can't stay here. You see, the same thing worked in the New Testament, where Jesus commanded them to go back to Jerusalem, and they did, and God poured out his spirit. And he says, look, I'm going to launch this church. I'm going to give people this brand new start. And Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost, and he teaches this message, and he talks to these people and says, hey, look, that the Messiah that you were looking for, that incredible life that you were looking for, it's come. It's come. And you missed it. In fact, you crucified him on Calvary, and you didn't even know what you were doing, but you were playing right into his hands. And God isn't mad at you. God's not trying to destroy you. God loves you, and God wants to give you his most incredible gift. God wants to dwell in you. But you can't stay here. He has a path for you. And when the people heard this, they said, what should we do? When they heard this, they knew that they were missing something. They knew that they had grown up hearing about God's promises. They had heard God wants to dwell with us, that the Messiah was coming, and they missed it. And they were hurt in their heart. They're just this desire for something that God had. And he said, what should we do? Men and brethren, what are we to do? We want this promise. What's the path to get there? And Peter said, hey, every promise has a path. God has this for you. He says, real simple. He says, here's how you start. And Peter said to them, repent. I mean, God wants to forgive every sin that you've ever done. Repent. Tell God you're sorry. And God will forgive. He says, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins. God wants to wash away every sin. God wants to give you this brand new start. And you may want this, but are you willing to do what he said? Are you willing to follow the path? He says, and you shall receive the gift or the promise of the Holy Spirit. It's yours. It's yours. And look at this next verse. He says, for this promise is for you and your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And that's everybody. And he says, there's this incredible promise and there's this path. And it starts with you recognizing that, you know what? You need a Savior. You need God. That you take the step and say, okay, God, I want you. I'm going to take that commitment. I can't just stay here. I want what you have for me. And that day, there were people that said, you know what? I'm comfortable where I'm at. But the Bible says that there were 3,000 people that said, I'm willing to leave. I'm willing to follow the path. And guess what happened? God kept his promise. God says, this promise is for you. And they said, we're in. Lead us. And they received God's promise. And God has a promise for you. God's promises are true for you. But are you willing to leave? Are you willing to follow what he has for you? See, the problem with us so many times is that it's not us that keeps us here. It's everybody else around us. Well, what will they think? What will they say? What will they do? How will they respond? When God is saying, I have this incredible life for you. I have this incredible gift for you. But you got to follow my path. You got to follow my way. You can't just stay there. Are you willing to follow him? Here in just a second, we're going to dismiss and give everybody a chance to pray. And some of you have carried in all kinds of emotional baggage today. That if we could see how you feel, you would just like you're carrying in an elephant, you know, and just trying to walk and, you know, carrying the weight of all of your issues and problems. And the amazing thing is you put on a great mask because we've shaken your hands and smiled at you and said, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. And inside you're going, liar. Worst week ever. Worst day ever. Worst month ever. And there's a God that says, I can forgive and remove the weight. I'm a God that forgives. I'm a God that bears the weight that you carried in here. If you're willing to leave and come to an altar and ask me to forgive, I will. Some of you today are wrestling with some things in your life, wrestling with some things that you're trying to get past, wrestling with some things you're trying to get over. And God is saying, I'm one that breaks addictions. I'm one that sets free. I'm one that still does the miraculous. But you can't just stay where you're at. Are you willing to come to me and say, okay, God, wherever you're leading, that's where I'm going. God, I got to recognize you as my Savior. I've got to trust you, and I will follow you. And God will keep his promise. Some of you need to experience what Peter was talking about, that God living inside you, the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. God wants to dwell. You know how that, he says, look, just repent and realize that God is able to forgive and baptize in Jesus' name. And then just start worshiping like he is your God in faith and say, God, you're my Savior. You're my Lord. Just begin to worship him in that step of faith and say, I'm going to worship you as if you were truly Lord of my life. I'm trusting you. God says, that's how I work. I don't know where you are at today, but God knows. I don't know what you've been asking from God, but God knows. And maybe you're at a place where you've asked and asked and asked, and you thought God was silent, and all the while God is saying, hey, get up, come on, get up, here it is, get up, here it is, come on, trust me in this, trust me. See, if you use this, then you're going to see that I am really able to do what you're asking. If you follow my plan, then I'm really able to do what you've been asking me for. I so want to do this. I'm so waiting for you to step up and begin to trust me and then begin to see that I am your God and I love you and I'm watching out for you, but you've got to get up. You can't just stay where you're at. That I've given you a promise, but you got to follow my path. See, this is step one, that if we're ever going to get there, we got to say, I'm willing to leave. I'm willing to go to an altar. I'm willing to get ask God for help. I'm willing to start there and allow my life to be changed into the life that God has for me. God's reaching. God wants to fulfill. But we got to wrestle with the question. Do I trust you, God? Am I willing to follow you? Oh, I wish you would make that decision this morning. Let's stand.